It's Against All Odds presented by FanDuel. Hey, take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, the official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. Podcast Network powered by Spotify. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Monday morning. Action-packed sports-wise. Mikey Meatballs producing this disaster of a show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
I feel like I'm extra loud. I apologize. It was a great weekend, by the way. I saw Springsteen last night. I'll get into that, but my ears are just, I don't think ever be the same. Bry, you were around a deafening crowd as well in Cleveland for the women's Final Four. So we're probably just going to be repeating ourselves with all the hearing loss, but we're going to go over that. Bry's winning women's Final Four was exciting. NBA playoffs around the corner. We got one more week of regular season action. And we're going to get into the Knicks. People left them for dead after Randall went down. Big, big win over the Bucks Sunday night. We're going to offer our race to 10 pick for Tuesday. We got our baseball play of the day. So much bed aches, but let's get right into the big game tonight. Final Four, Purdue beats NC State 63-50. UConn downs Alabama 86-72. And Parley Kid, I don't know if you know how close we were on winning weekend. We picked exact scores for this. I think the two of us were the only ones who picked the exact score. 86-72. You said 85-70. Whoa. I said 90-72. So we almost called it exactly between the two of us. I'm looking at the bets here. I had biggest blowout. I got lucky. My big bet was the biggest blowout would be of the two games, Alabama, UConn. I win 14-13. Bry, how about that? How about that? I need a three. Well, no reason to take a three with 40 seconds left.
Well, that was the thing, right? You got this. Yeah. It was Spencer hit the three, right? That put it up.
Yep.
That was a crazy ending just to get there. Because it's funny that you say that, because I was following that, knowing that you gave that out.
Yeah.
That was kind of crazy how that last about 45 seconds played out for you.
Oh, man. Lots of fun. Lots of fun. Maybe not as much fun for Harry. We're going to get that to that in a second. And Darren, you called the Parley Kid. You called the exact finals matchup. You have Purdue over UConn. I have Purdue over, who did I have? Marquette? I don't think that's going to happen. But it doesn't matter. Parley Kid, congratulations. You won. You won our bracket, right? I think that's what I have. You have how many points? 74. I have 70.
Oh God,
Harry has 66. Yeah. But we both have Purdue winning.
Right.
Bry, what matters here is you have to eat your bracket.
Yes.
Because you came in last place. You had Arizona and Houston in the finals, and you now have to eat your bracket. This will take place on Cousin Sal's winning weekend on Friday. You have a printable form of your bracket?
I do have the, it's funny, I have the bracket printed out because you made us handwrite it for whatever reason.
Right.
For this very reason.
Yeah.
Although I think I need to make a copy of that version because God knows I've had painting going on in my house. Spackling.
Good.
God knows what's all over that sheet of paper.
Doesn't matter. You got to eat it. Whatever it is, you eat it. Eat your words. That's it. All right. Now, Harry, you lost the Matt Painter argument. Matt Painter, you and the Parley Kid have been going back and forth. Is Matt Painter a good, great coach or a terrible coach? You are on the terrible side. I'm going to put my lawyer cap on. I failed the bar twice, but I did go to law school. But I do want to say, as these two guys go at it in the coming minutes, I do want to point out that Harry did say if Painter went, we have, you know, we have the wiretaps. He said if Painter took this team to the Final Four, he would give him all the credit in the world. He also said he's a terrible coach because he got eliminated in the first and second round repeatedly. So it would make sense as a
repeatedly
kid's
by
point
double
out,
digit seeds. Repeatedly by double digit seeds.
Well,
and
it would
3 years.
Sense.
3 years.
Hold on.
Years.
Hold on. Hold on. I think that's an objection and you'd be shut down immediately as I'm talking right now. I said I'm going to give you your chance, but you also. But it would make sense, Parley Kid. I'm going to go first. I'm going to let you go first, Parley Kid, because I feel like you won this argument. You're going to maintain that if Harry says if you're eliminated in the first or second round and are terrible, then if you make it to the Final Four and then the finals, you should be a great coach, right?
That's exactly the argument here, Sal. Harry has to cop to Painter being great coach. I won't even say very good, a great coach, because if you contend that great. He is a terrible coach because he can't get out in round one. Then when he makes it to the finals, you have to say, you know what? Guy's a good, he's a legit coach. He's the real deal. He's a great coach. I don't think it, look, we've seen upsets happen before. It shouldn't define a coach. Painter has done so much winning in Purdue. In Purdue, how does Purdue's football team do every year? How do they do? Mm-hmm. This is a team that in the Big Ten, that is a constant top team in the Big Ten. He's won as many Big Ten championship titles as any coach in the history of the Big Ten. He is an excellent coach. He does a great job of recruiting. This just cements the deal, what I've been saying all along. Harry has to eat crow. Look, Harry, he's Bash Reed. He's Bash Painter. He bashes these elite people.
Can I eat crow with hot sauce? Can I have hot sauce on the crow?
Listen, who's
whatever
more
you want.
Successful? Painter as a basketball coach or Harry at his picks?
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, I'd like Painter to take a shot at Harry's picks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not close.
Well, I don't know about that. To take away last year's football season, the 2 years before that, it definitely goes to Harry.
But last year you were eliminated in the first round.
Yeah.
You were a first round knockout.
Okay. Yeah. Hear me. Okay. Here's my thing.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's not forget that Purdue didn't come out of nowhere, Darren. They are a number one seed. They're a number one seed. And they're a number one seed.
Before they were coached, before they had a coach even established, they were
number
one seed.
They were number one seed last year and obviously lost to a 16. So again, another one seed. They're really more fortunate this year than good. That's a fact.
Here we go.
That's a fact.
Number one, played the worst Zags team we can ever remember. Then zero bench points for Purdue against Tennessee. Less assists, blocks, steals in the balls, but had more turnovers in that game Purdue did, but happened to go to the free throw line 22 more times than Tennessee did. And then against an 11 seed NC State team in the Final Four, as a number one seed, you commit 16 turnovers against an 11 seed that just happened to run out of gas because the NC State had their opportunities, just couldn't capitalize with open shots they couldn't make. 16 turnovers as number one seed against an 11 seed. And so
the model that you're setting up allows for no coach to ever be good because either the team that they beat fell short and was bad, or the best player on your team did well, and that's why they won. Leave no room. You leave zero room for coach to be. It's kind of stupid because you don't give a coach any credit. You're like a person who was allergic to shellfish and then is giving their shrimp ratings of how it should be.
It doesn't make any sense.
You don't like any coaches.
One last thing.
I doubt it'll be the last thing.
Final four for Painter? Yes. Yeah. More fortunate than good? Yep, as well. And if you want a good coach, I'll tell you, Dawn Staley, phenomenal job. You know what? You have five new starters, and you go 38-0, and in like 5 years, she's like 167-9. Now, that's a heck of a coach. And you know what? With Calipari gone, we're supposed to evolve. Hire Dawn Staley to be the Kentucky coach. That'd be great.
Oh, wow. Look at that. What a man of the people. What happened? You believe that?
I don't know what happened to this painter argument.
I know. Well, he bailed. He bailed for painter.
He
threw a bucket of paint all
Don
over.
Don Staley's a good coach.
He switches to Don Staley. Harry has never liked an actual coach.
Joe Gibbs did it in two sports.
Go ahead. Brian, what were you saying?
No, I was just going to say, I guess he finally gave a coach credit. I mean, he never gives any coach credit. So that's you got to take that, I guess.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Parlay kid, you lose again. I'm sorry. I don't know what keeps happening here.
That's the way it goes, D.
Harry just has to figure out which words of his he's going to go back on. Is it, I will give him all the credit in the world if he makes the Final Four and now he's doubled that or half of whatever you want to say.
Purdue been impressive as a one seed? Have they been really impressive?
You didn't say that. You said you'd give them all the credit in the world.
Covered, still has to 16
turnovers against State.
I mean, they've covered every game, right, though?
What would Painter say? What would Painter say
about
Harry?
They've exceeded expectations even as a one seed in covering every game, Harry. So you can count all the turnovers.
Connecticut's done the same.
That's why they're here. But... And Purdue's a very good school. It's a very good school, but it's hard to win in the Indianas and Purdue's now compared to a lot of these other schools. The guy's done a masterful job there. Masterful. He had some unfortunate things happen to him.
What was the masterful job before this year? Can you tell me?
Harry, he's gone to the Sweet 16. This is not an easy tournament.
You're with Boeheim left and right, and I do too, but you don't give Boeheim any credit for how many Sweet 16s Boeheim
He does to. Well in the conference, Harry. He does well for the 3.5 months of the season, and then now he's proven himself in the finals. I don't care.
He's done it.
All right, listen, let's pick this game.
They probably don't like the tournament.
And I would say Parley Kid would never say Boeheim. Darren, I'm sure, would say Boeheim is a great coach. He might be an asshole. That's all.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly right. I've always questioned his character of his hirings and other things about him.
Driving.
Well, you said it. I didn't have to say it.
You did.
I didn't say anything. UConn. You just said it.
You said the driving months ago. You've made a reference.
Well, it doesn't matter what you say months ago, Harry, right? Obviously, it doesn't matter what you say months ago. We've established that. Connecticut, 6.5-point favorite, 144.5 tonight against Purdue. I know I have Purdue winning all, but I'm going to go against my bracket and all the arguing we just heard. And I'm taking UConn -6.5. Margin of victory, 25 points. I'm still going to say Purdue's a very good team, great matchup. But they do not do well against ball movement and slap happy teams. And that's exactly what UConn does. That's it. They got their hands going. They remind me of Duke in the 90s. They got their hands on every play. They give out more than 14 assists an outing, Boilermakers, against these good guards. That's 279th in the nation. I think Klingon is going to play down low well enough. He'll lose that battle with Edie, but Purdue's going to have, I think, mixed results feeding Edie down low. Like Harry keeps pointing out, they had 16 turnovers. That's good. Last game, you know, if they have 10 or 12, it's going to lead to a lot of points. UConn, you know what? You get UConn. You could, when Klingon's on the bench or whatever, you got a few minutes to do your thing against them, and then just look out because they'll have like a 6-minute stretch where they will just crush you. The Huskies 26-11 against the spread. I like them to cover the 6.5. Now I'm going to say this though. You should be very careful with this pick of mine because I have stacked, Bri, as you know, UConn and South Carolina for the last 2 weeks. I parlayed them both to make the Elite Eight, parlayed them both to make the Final Four, both to make the finals. And now all I need to complete this masterful, crazy run that never happens to me is for UConn to win. And I'm still going to say they do. And I think they do it convincingly. 73-63 Huskies. Dan Hurley, go fetch your personal scissors. UConn repeats. Bri, I think you're going with me here.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, how much did you have on that parlay on the Elite Eight? I mean, right?
It's not pretty. It's not pretty. I think I might have had a team or two in there, a couple teams in there.
Yeah, look, I like UConn here too to cover. I'll say we still haven't seen some of the props come out yet. I'd probably go Klingon under points. I'd probably go Newton Spencer over points. And look, you could say no matter what, right? I was talking to a friend here like the Huskies the last two seasons, it is weird they've gotten lucky in that they've never played a one or a two seed, right? The best seed they've played is a three seed. Mm-hmm. So they've gotten a little bit lucky, but you know, 11 straight covers in this tournament is hard to ignore, especially just kind of how they close out these games. And that's what I'm always worried about here. Cause like you said, all of a sudden UConn could just, they could go on a 10-0 run in about 50 seconds. You're like, what the hell just happened? So I do think if you're taking Purdue, I said this in the Alabama game, if you're taking Purdue, take them first half. Do not take them points-wise, I don't think, for the game, just because something could happen. And like I said, it just seems like UConn, similar to like what we saw with South Carolina women, second half or late in games are excellent. So I just see this kind of early first, a close game early, and then UConn pulls away late.
They do have the player props out, as I'm seeing.
Oh, they must have just come out.
What do you think for Edie? Points?
23 and a half.
22 and a half. Go ahead, Harry. Say something snarky. Go ahead.
What is fouls that aren't called?
Well, I'll say this, Harry. If you are so hell-bent on this, the FanDuel also has specials. Edie to record 10-plus made free throws plus 195. Why don't you do that?
Interesting.
Do that.
Very interesting.
You know, save yourself. I don't know what kind of hedge it is at this point, but all right, Harry, now you have to go all in on UConn with the big blowout. I did have them at plus 210 to win by 10 points or more in both final four games. That's basically what are you doing here? 15 plus?
Minus 15 and a half for Connecticut at plus 350. The Boilermakers bottom line are walking into a buzzsaw. UConn won by an average of 20 points per game in last year's title run. It's even more, 25 a game this year. Edie won't get what he's accustomed to versus Klingon, who was dominant on both ends of the court, especially in the second half against Alabama. UConn didn't have their A game on Saturday overall, especially in the first half. Tonight they will. Harry and the Huskies cash in at plus 350. UConn 82, per dunk. 62.
Oh, now it's Harry and the Huskies. All right. All right, Parlay Kid. You're taking Purdue.
Yeah,
you have them. Have you called a final before in a long time?
Virginia.
In a bracket?
Virginia, I called a couple years ago
To win the actual final. This would be something.
Yeah, well, the actual perfect final. I mean, since the beginning of the year, I've been on Purdue, Sal, right? So I said they would.
No, I know, but years, how many years since? I don't know that I've called an exact final.
Well, this was an easy one to call in my book. I really thought these were the two top teams really consistently throughout the season. If you actually look at Purdue's losses, only once out of their four losses was it by more than 4 points.
Nebraska.
Against Nebraska. So every game. They could have literally had one loss coming into this tournament. So they've been very good. They make you sweat it out a little bit. And I'll get back to some of the points. But yes, Sal, on your cousin Sal's winning weekend, I had Purdue minus 9.5, had UConn to cover. And I also gave out the one that you really liked, but the biggest blowout being UConn. We just got that one. Harry, by the way, was 0-3 on his FanDuel.
Oh,
picks.
Wow.
Just
really?
So you know, right? I'm pretty sure he was 0-3. I could be wrong, but I remember thinking.
Sorry for taking Connecticut 20 or more in both games. Sorry.
There you go.
Sorry. Okay.
You know, that's.
Well, you're doing it again. So how sorry are you?
Exactly.
Know.
So that being said, Sal, and you made some great points.
You're taking the plus 6.5. You're not taking money line.
Well, I already have Purdue to win the whole thing. I have Purdue to win the whole thing.
Mr. Purdue.
I have them to win the whole thing. So I am hedging a little bit here.
With it.
So I'm just going to take them with the points for today's pick. There's two ways Purdue is going about this, right? They could play the underdog role here or, you know, are they just happy to be here? I'm not sure. Look, this is a team, though, that seems focused. I think that the best matchup for UConn is Purdue. That being said, Sal, I do worry about Purdue's turnover rate against this type of team. Even Edie, when he gets that ball down low and having the ball kind of stripped from him, he's got to hold that ball high and make sure he avoids those turnovers down in the low post. So he's able to at least kick the passes out to open shooters. I think Purdue's going to have to shoot it at close to a 40% clip here to get the W tonight. Anything less than that, it's going to be hard to beat this juggernaut that is UConn. But I have been on Purdue all year, predicted them from the beginning of the year to win it. I'll hedge a little bit here, just taking the points with Purdue. I do love that. I think they've had a great season. UConn is so tough, though, Sal. I don't know if we've seen a team like this in a long time. They're so well coached, too. But let's go, Purdue. I'm rooting for you to win this game. We don't need to see UConn win it back-to-back years, guys. Let's get a new champ. New champ.
This would be such a torturous loss for you, Harry. Right, Harry? What would this rank?
That would be bad. It would be real bad.
It's already bad, but Sal, it doesn't look. For Painter's legacy, would this be the icing on the cake? Absolutely. But he's proven he's a great coach. He's a great coach.
Well, Painter's at Purdue for 10 more years and he made one Final Four out of 25 years. All right, whatever. Mm. Beat an 11 seed at 16 turnovers. Look great.
Player's a three-star recruit. Anybody could have had Edie. Out there. They did a great job of getting him and developing him. He's got to give people credit.
Job of developing him, commit 3 seconds calls.
I could be wrong. I'd like to know how many five-star recruits Purdue has on their roster.
Ivy had to have been a five-star recruit.
He was a four-star recruit.
Okay, God forbid.
I doubt they've had any, probably. They probably don't get any.
Aaron, why do the refs only go after the teams? They only favor the teams that you hate all the time. Why?
I get screwed with the Chiefs. Screwed with Purdue. Sure. I don't know.
Yeah, you got screwed. Me. I don't know. I don't know. You tell me. Like, maybe you should take a look in the mirror. Like, maybe are you crazy or they have it out for you?
They hear my analysis on the games and they go the other way, I guess.
Yeah. You know what? Harry actually believes that. That's what's crazy.
It's crazy.
All right. Good luck picking this over-under, too. Purdue's gone 9-1 to the over last 10. UConn's gone 1-9 to the over, or 9-1 to the under.
When you go to the free throw line 33 times, sure.
You watch their games, Harry? Because Purdue is a... By the way, the foul differential in Saturday's game was not big. It was not big at all.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
That game, they weren't calling. I mean, on both sides, the early part of that game, they weren't calling anything.
Yeah. But DJ Burns had he had the footwork.
He didn't play well.
Comparatively, if you just watched
it. He couldn't get around Edie, no doubt about it. I admit that.
So there was no fouls. That didn't have anything to do with it. Now, what I'm going to get screwed on here is this most outstanding player award. So I took, who did I take?
Newton.
I took Spencer and Newton. Yeah, I think I took Newton on the game, but I bet Spencer and Newton. I'm like, all right, one's 5-1, one's plus 340. Klingon, or maybe doesn't play enough to get it and that kind of thing. Edie's gumming up the works because he's favored on a team that isn't supposed to win. So as it is now, though, Klingon's plus 170, Edie plus 240, Castle 3-1, the freshman there. What did he have? 21 in the last
21.
Game?
Yeah, was 19. He was 19-1 going into that game. Yeah.
So I don't think I could head. Like, let's say I just think Connecticut. I don't know what
I
could do.
Yeah, it's hard to. What Newton and Spencer are what though?
So right now for this now?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Because so Newton could still. I mean, one of those guys could still have 23 and win this award.
I know. I know. Guess it's anyone's.
Any one of the five starters for Connecticut, like I text you guys, any one of the five starters could win it.
Yeah, they could with a big game. Yeah. And Klingon's just weird. Klingon's weird because I saw him live against St. John's this year and watch him run. Like it looks like his feet bother him all the time. He gets exhausted in about 2 minutes, but man, he's effective. He's effective when he's in there.
Right. I'm going to look at some of these others. I said Edie to record 10. Zach Zeedy would be a good fat
basketball.
Well,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So that should be his nickname.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. Plus 195 at that one. Do we like any of these? Newton and Spencer to combine for 30, plus 115.
Kind of like that.
At three or more blocks is plus 155. Klingon, three or more blocks is minus 150. Interesting. Klingon has more. Better shot at that. Try to look at here. Edie and Klingon combined for 40 points. +210. 25 or more rebounds is +480. No, that's probably not going to happen. They have a lot. They have a lot here. They have a correct score. They have two or three threes made and lots of stuff. Winning margin. But okay, so here it is. So Castle's 3-1, Newton 9-1, Spencer 13-1, and Braden Smith 34-1 right there. But Klingon is the favorite at +170. I don't think I could hedge out of this, guys. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough.
I'd have to take Castle and Klingon. I don't know. It's now I have four guys. Maybe not even the right team winning. So there you go. All right, listen, we've talked a lot about this game. Let's come back and discuss women's Final Four. We'll be right back to talk about that. All right, Bri, you were in Cleveland. You drove out there, bleary-eyed. Yeah. What a father. Even though it was really just for you, right? Just to see women's Final Four.
Well, to see, Final Four in our friend's house. I needed to see, you know, there's a couple of reasons I needed to go there.
Yeah, but, doing some recon.
It was a great experience. You know, I drove there Friday and I drove right back Saturday. I mean, it was not a lot of time spent in Cleveland, but
That's the way to do it in Cleveland.
It was funny, Sal, like, because, you know, I went a little bit above of what I normally would pay for a ticket. And it so happened I ended up we were rooting for UConn, especially I was, even though my daughter was kind of like 50-50. She didn't really necessarily care because she loved both teams so much. But as it turns out, we ended up, I was in the family section of the UConn. So like all the parents and family members of UConn, we were in there, which was great, except every time UConn scored, they stood up. So it was just like, I felt like the whole game, it was like, I was like kind of leaning up the whole game, trying to just see.
You got to just tell them to sit down. So, you know, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but I know I you're paid related. A lot more for a ticket than I wanted to.
I know. That's how it was.
Let's go. The first game you had, you nailed it. You had NC State first half. That was easy. +6.5. That didn't, I think it got to four, maybe it got to five or something, but
they were up like six. Yeah. And then they closed
32-31 first half. That was a winner, but I also had South Carolina laying the points and they just crushed that third quarter. It was like 29-6.
Oh, they were so good.
So they crush, they win by 19. And then the second game is Iowa UConn, which was fun. UConn got out to a biggish lead and then it was close and a 1-point game. And then, they had that back screen, that moving screen call. And at first I made a WWE reference, but I think it was the right call.
Yeah,
I do.
I think live and again, in my section with UConn fans, everybody was like going crazy, but Riley had actually taped it. So we like quickly watched back and she's like, yeah, it definitely was.
Since Friday, there were some angles that were like,
it's moving. Plus you get like an elbow up to the face aggressive. A little bit. Yeah. The only thing I would say is, and you know, I knew Oriam was going to complain about it and it sucked. The game was such a good game and to be there live and for it to not end on either a make or a miss there sucked. But I could see why Oriyama, like, because I went back and watched some of the game yesterday. I could see why Oriyama was pissed off, though, because there are a couple of times, you know, during the game, their girl Stolke, when she's setting screens, they all step out. They all step out.
Right. You nailed it, because that's what people say. Well, if it's a foul in the first quarter, it's a foul in the fourth quarter. That's true. But then call it in the first quarter and second quarter and third quarter too. Like they could be called when you're playing against a Caitlin Clark where there's constant screens and people are trying to get her open. You don't think that's happening 5-6 times a game on the other end. Yeah. It was the right call, but the wrong call at the same time, because if you're going to call that there, you probably got to call that about 12 times during the game.
We could know if it's right or wrong. Let's just ask Harry if it was a right or wrong call, and then we'll know. Harry, right or wrong call?
That was the right call.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's the wrong call. But my thing is,
I know what you're saying.
Is that just getting called consistently throughout the game?
Yeah,
D, you're right.
I mean, it's.
I'm with you. I just, there are people who dismiss it out of hand. Like, you can't call that at all at the end of the game. I'm like, no, that's stop.
I'll tell you what, though.
Just think about that for a second.
Didn't they two Super Bowls?
That
called holding against the
Eagles? It was right. It was a right call. It was a freaking hold. Okay. It was.
Right.
Yeah. And that call, though, if you watch that call again, that whistle was blown. Like, it was spot. As soon as it happened, whistle. It was, there was no delay. The official was obviously watching it very closely right there. Mm-hmm. But like Brian said, the losers of that were just the fans to not see, maybe what could have been either way, a more fulfilling ending, you could say.
Right, for sure.
And so then we get to Sunday. By the way, I guess they're competing against WrestleMania in the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale, but I was surprised that game was at noon. It was noon Pacific, I think, right?
I know there were.
Hasn't that been later normally?
It's always been later.
No, it's fun. They, I think last year was early too. Earlier, I don't know if it was 3 o'clock early. Mm. But yeah, there was a lot of people like months in advance complaining about the time of this game, saying why is it not on? Why not put it on at 7 o'clock? It doesn't have
Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes.
Doesn't have to be 9:20 Eastern like the boys, but 7:20 would have been a great time.
So this team is great, the South Carolina. I mean, Harry has been all over praising the coach for so long now, but 38-0, Dawn Staley. Dawn Staley, I'm looking at something else. I'm looking at Caitlin Clark, 10 for 28. She just had to be a lot better than that, you know?
She had 18 in the first.
Well, she had 14 in the first 4.5 minutes.
So then she missed a bunch after that. Turnovers. And worse than that, you're not going to get a lot of looks right by the basket. You got to make all those layup type shots, all those 3-foot floaters and layups, because, you know, they would lose. I think at one point it was 14-0 in offensive rebounds. And so you got to make everything close. Go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say, it was actually amazing. Brian, I wonder if you agree that Iowa stayed as close as they did.
It did sound like Iowa State. Yeah.
All right.
They scored just 29 points in the second half. Totally got out rebounded 51-29. And more than anything else, bench points 37-0. Iowa still was there.
That's the thing. You see that, especially when I was there live. You see that. I mean, South Carolina brings in three girls that are better than their starters.
Right.
You know,
two
freshmen and sophomore that are as good as anybody they have on the floor. The funny thing is, when you watch them, especially, you could see it yesterday. I've never seen it before, I think, other than South Carolina. And it doesn't really happen in the men's league because you can't do it as much unless you had like an 8-foot guy. I guess you could do it with Edie a little bit. But literally, if Cardoza had great position, whoever had the ball, like as long as they got like a decent shot off, you could almost tell at first they're a little hesitant, but they're like, I'm shooting this anyway. Because even if I miss this, she is getting the rebound and scoring.
Sure.
Like,
she was the difference.
It is weird watching that. And you could also tell she wasn't as good. She was definitely hurt too.
I was going to say, as dominant as she was and seemed, she was only 7 for 14 from the field.
Yeah, like, you could tell she was off. She had gotten hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
On Friday.
So there you go. All right. So that was exciting. We're done with women's basketball for a minute. By the way, John Calipari goes to Arkansas. Big upset. That's a big upset. March Madness right there. And then like when something like this happens, I'm like, all right, who is this? Why is this team doing this? And why is the coach doing this? I'm not sure about either. I don't know why Arkansas. I know Musselman had a bad year. I know he's gone anyway, went to USC, but Elite Eight, Sweet 16, and then a bad year for Arkansas. Calipari can't put up doesn't have the same resume for the last 4 years. And on the other hand, why is he going to Arkansas? You're not going to be able to, he won't find an Italian restaurant within 350 miles at his, to his liking. Wow. Is this a good move, Parley Kid?
I love this for Calipari. A little bit, not as high profile, but it's going to be now. I think this probably has something to do with some very wealthy boosters in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Heck, maybe even Jerry Jones is throwing a little bit of money Calipari's way to get there. Somebody did tell me, I don't know if this is fact, that Calipari is very friendly with a billionaire booster over there at Arkansas. So if that's true, I could see why this is happening. But I like the move for Calipari. Get out. You know what? They don't want you in Kentucky anymore. Go someplace where they're gonna love you for at least a year or two. And you can recruit the heck there. That could be a place we've seen Arkansas win before. This is a nice fresh start for Calipari. Good for him. I'm happy for the guy. I don't personally love him, to be honest with you, but I think this is the right move and a good change of scenery for him.
Harry Don Staley to Kentucky.
I love it.
That position's open now.
I love it. I love that idea.
All right. No NBA games on Monday in deference to the championship game in college. What did we see this weekend? Well, it's funny. I had written down yesterday morning, are the Knicks done without Randall? Now, this happened. We were done with our podcast for the week last week. And then they beat the hell out of Milwaukee. And Parlay Kid, I don't know what to think. You know, Simmons talks about there's a Ewing factor here, Ewing theory factor in here without Randall. Like the Knicks did so well that year Ewing was out. You know, we all know that theory. But
yeah,
boy, my first thought is I don't think the East is as good as everyone wants it to be right now. And it's a shame that the Knicks got hit with injuries, because they would make it as good as everybody wants it to be. But now maybe they're back. Maybe they could make things interesting.
Yeah, I think my guess would be is that Knicks probably have a worse winning percentage without Randall. I think Randall finally figured it out this year with the Knicks in terms of towards like he was his first year. He was fitting in much better with the Knicks, especially once Barrett, the trade had occurred. Third option of that offense, Barrett, was gone and enabled Randall to do a little bit more. That being said, look, this has been a ridiculously brutal stretch for the Knicks down there. Now they got to play back in Chicago, back in Boston, before they come home for a couple games. But I would say this, no team in the East wants to play the Knicks in the playoffs, especially when OG Anunoby is in the lineup. His offensive game is a little rusty right now. But he is such, I watched the game last night pretty intently. The guy can guard Lillard and he can guard Giannis. How many other players in the NBA can do that? Very few. He is such an X factor. And that's what's going to make the Knicks. If he is close to being as healthy as possible in the playoffs, the Knicks are going to be a pain in the rear end to play. And I must also preface by saying this, Sal. In all my years of rooting for New York teams, okay, or any teams, right, including the Cowboys, my favorite teams, I'm not really sure if I have seen a season like the season Brunson is having for the Knicks. I mean, Mattingly had a couple years that were like out of this world. You know, you and Bernard King, they did have some years. But when you watch this guy Brunson, who is, you know, not very tall, second round draft pick, what he is doing for this team has just been I've enjoyed watching him this year as much as any athlete that I've watched in New York in all my years. He has been unbelievable. Darren. And I think every fan says the same thing. He is a warrior. This guy, he is tremendous. He's got such a high IQ. He sacrifices his body. He's banged up as can be. He plays 40 minutes a night. He's what Knicks basketball is about right now. He should be the runner-up in the MVP as far as I'm concerned. I actually think he should be in the conversation to win it, but I don't think that's going to be the case. He has been tremendous. What a pleasure it has been to watch that guy.
You're right. Yeah. He's a warrior. He was just traded to Golden State for future considerations. Yikes. Not good.
I'll say this, guys, that Darren, what you just said, and Sal, what you said, the Knicks injuries throughout the season, after all that, this Knicks team is still their point differential is like 4.5 plus 4.5 a game. Darren, that's like third or fourth best in the NBA. And they've had all these injuries to boot.
Brunson's got the top plus minus two out of anybody in the NBA. His brother Bry shared with at least one of our groups the other day. And that's why, Harry, I don't know how you can't have favorite teams, because this provides the rest of us so much joy. Like, wow. It really does.
You've had some misery, too.
But that's part of it, Sal, right? It's so part of it with the ups
Harry's
and downs.
Got enough with
how
the
do you
refs?
Not have
He's
a
got
team?
Enough with the refs. I guess, that he roots against the refs, and that's
Syracuse basketball is, right? On its way. Syracuse basketball's on its way to be way back. D. 22 wins this year. They didn't even get considered being in the tournament.
Here's what I want to look. So they're tied for third, the Knicks. Now I'm trying to figure out they're tied for third in the East, and yet if you look at the Eastern Conference odds on FanDuel, they are sixth at 23-1.
They could still get second, right?
Yeah, they're on game back.
I mean, the Bucks are falling
Bucks
apart.
Have been brutal.
They're really falling apart here.
Well, you don't. The only thing
they
is
could
you,
run
you,
the slate and lose
the way,
everything.
The problem, with Doc Rivers being head coach, 14-17. So, again, guys, garbage. And overrated as can be.
All right. Now, so, put your money coach. On the Bucks. There you go. You heard it from Harry. Bucks plus 320 to win the East, because Harry already cursed another coach.
Doc Rivers. What's he done?
Brian, go ahead.
I was just going to say, as a Knicks fan, you just really, you don't want the 4 or 5 seed.
I don't know. I know because you don't want to play the Celtics in the second round, but you're going to have to pick them off anyway.
You got to beat them anyway, so maybe it doesn't matter. I think for this season, look, if they win an opening round, that's a successful season for them. Anything after that is great.
Right now they get Cleveland, right? You'd take Cleveland right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
They're tied with the Met. Yeah, they're tied.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. It's funny. I'd rather play certain teams. Maybe even I'd rather play a certain team than necessarily like the Pacers.
I don't know. You'd rather play Cleveland than the Pacers? I don't know if it matters.
As of now, if the playoffs started today, guys, the Clippers would be playing Dallas in the first round. How great would that be? First round.
Yeah, it's good. And that's 7-10. It looks like, the Suns could still get in that 7-10. I'm looking at
Suns
that.
Suns choked yesterday again.
Yeah. And Sacramento's tough without, Lakers, Warriors. All right. So there's still a lot. So we have 6 days of basketball left. We're doing our race to 10 on Tuesday. Brian, you have the hot hand. Have we won?
2-0.
All right. Warriors, Lakers, Tuesday night. I know the Lakers are 2.5-point favorite at home. You've not let us down this year.
All right, 2-1. I'm going to put on my special solar eclipse glasses. Solar eclipse glasses.
Oh, my.
This is how he does
funny.
It?
I can only see.
Right over
I know.
The eclipse is going right over a Swiggo, by the way.
I can't see anything except Harry with these glasses. It's crazy. I am going to take.
Better than Darren's hat.
I think that's Harry's nickname in a Swiggo, was called the eclipse.
The eclipse?
Yeah.
Better than Darren's. I'll say that.
You know, he takes up, blocks out a lot of stuff.
Right.
The eclipse. The human eclipse. They call him.
Paulie Kidd, why is he going after your hat?
Well, it's funny about that. I'm sorry, Brian. I know Brian was going to do his thing here. It's funny. I got Finken. He's saying how Finken didn't like the hat.
He's a friend of ours.
Our pal Finken is just a great guy.
He's a great liar.
Harry, obviously, just so you guys know, he takes screenshots of us while we're on, and he sends it to Finken, and he writes, Darren and Sal's.
I did because you and Sal
Darren and Sal's Irish cap. Finken says, they look good. And Harry says, they look like fools. But Joey should get one. That was the conversation.
Sal South looked pretty sharp in it.
Sal, can you believe
so
this
much
guy?
To say about
First of all, can you imagine that these are guys and this is Harry's in his 50s. This is his conversation about our caps.
Put it this way. People who are listening to our show and fans are, let's just give them a little. Finken lies more than Purdue gets calls. How about that?
Well, I don't know what to think.
That's a lot.
I don't know. Take a screenshot of that. Brian, we're making some money here, Brian.
We're
Golden
going,
State Lakers are going to be like minus 120 for our race to 10.
We're going
to
take the Warriors. Okay. Warriors right, first good. To 10. They on the road. They've won the race to 10 six of the last seven. So we're going to go Warriors here. Get off beautiful. To a hot start.
That's yep. it. You know what? I'm going to have someone play along with us. That is a 10-10 start Eastern time Tuesday night. So someone to play along with us. I'll have a trivia question.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
throw
let's
out
go.
There.
Let's go. Let's go, boys. Let's play go. For
$50. That's how we'll do this. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with baseball plays of the day. All right. My Mets finally won this weekend. Wow. Wow. They are red hot, this team. I have to say, their offense is pitiful, but top fifth in ERA and starting pitching's third in ERA. I don't know where it's coming from, but those bats are just hideous. That lineup is really something else. I don't know. It sucks when you're watching it. They got to bust out, right? No, maybe not. Maybe not the case. The top three, Nimmo, 103, Lindor 083, Alonso 184. Their bottom three, Taylor 240, McNeil 115, Bader 192.
It is insane.
And their middle three is okay. Alvarez, Beatty, and Marte.
imagine Sal, like you went back, right? Like 10, 15, even 10 years ago, and you looked at the batting averages right now, you'd be like, that can't be right.
What's going on? Are they playing with a P? What is it? So they won three of the last four. They really should have won the Saturday game. They won in 5-2 in a comical eighth inning. But Parley Kid, the Yankees are, what did they do? They won that game yesterday, right?
Yep. That was a great victory.
Yeah.
One of my sons was at the game yesterday with a couple of pals. And I could tell you, man. Early returns would say after the first part of the season here, Volpe's got to be in that MVP conversation. That guy's doing it all. Probably a couple
I go
stolen
Brunson
bases.
Over Volpe. I don't know.
He's bases, been phenomenal. Yep. Back over 400. Gold glove playing shortstop.
Do it, probably. Get 200-1 on FanDuel right now. 200-1.
He's not winning.
Oh, he's batting high. He's batting higher than it now. Okay.
He's been great. He's been great.
The problem is, they got Soto at the top and Judge. A lot of pressure that those two are the top contenders for
MVP. They've been playing,
MVP.
Look,
Soto.
Yeah, Soto hasn't broken out the long ball yet. Judge is only hitting 200. But they're finding ways to win games.
Has Soto not hit a home run yet?
One
He's
home
plus
run.
360. He's got one home run. Yeah, and plus 360. All right. Let's do it. Play of the day. I'll start us off. Dodgers, they got shellacked by the Cubs yesterday. There was a rain delay. Then they only ended up with one run. Ohtani, four-game hit streak. The bats are still alive. He's batting 400 over the last five games. We have Paxton versus Ober. Paxton, the lefty for the Dodgers. I think he's like 35. Five scoreless versus the Giants. Twins batting 177 over the last week. Ober, their pitcher tonight, eight earned runs allowed versus the Royals. I just think this is a great spot for the Dodgers on the run line. -1.5. Visiting team. They bat nine times. Give me the Dodgers 7-4 win. Bri, what you got?
Well, I was going to say, I think we talked about this in the past though, but I know we've liked the Dodgers run line, but like when the Dodgers are, they're only a -136 in this game.
Yeah.
Over was killed, right? The last game Paxton pitched well. Like I don't know why this is.
Right.
I know this is at the Twins and we expect the Twins to be a better team, but
yeah,
haven't played well. Haven't played well yet. So I think you got to jump. I know you're doing the -1.5, which is good. You're getting good number there, but I think I'm going to put a lot on the money line here. Mm-hmm. I like that one a lot here, but yeah, I'm going to go with the Rangers +120. If this line was a little bit more even, I would probably stay away. I just think there's pretty good value +120. Framber Valdez, pretty awful against this lineup late in the season last year. Three of his last four starts against them were really bad. Those were including two in the postseason. And this Rangers lineup, I know some guys aren't necessarily hitting yet, but this lineup is actually even better than it was last year. You know, they only scored one run yesterday, so against Houston. So I think they bounce back. They're 4-2 at home to start. Astros only 1-2 on the road here. So even though I think that was the flip in the postseason, right? Last year, the road teams did the damage here, but
yeah.
I'm going to take the Rangers. Rangers at +120, I think is too good right now because we really haven't the Astros just still are not playing well yet.
They kind of own this team too, right? It used to be the other way around, obviously. Yeah. But Texas is...
I know Heaney's pitching, whatever. It's not, you know, whatever. But still, I think Valdez had three bad outings against them.
That's the whole thing. All right, so they won two out of the last three against the Astros over the weekend. So this closes out the series. All right, Harry, what do you got?
Well, because Parlay Kid felt the need to call me out with my record on Cousins out for the weekend, I will mention that in our last pod, when we had our play of the game, my Knicks pick, -3.5 against Sacramento, was spot on.
That was the only one that won. Yeah, we all lost.
So today, I'm going to go Arizona is playing in Colorado. I'm going to go over 10.5 runs at -115. The Rockies may be just 1-6 in the last 7 games, but they have scored at least 6 runs in 3 of the last 4 games. And in their 4 matchups to start the season, the D-backs averaged 8 runs a game versus the Rocky pitching. So give me over 10.5 Rockies and D-backs today, so.
All right, Parlay Kid, bring it home. Angels. Mike Trout, by the way, favored to win Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah, well, he's got 4 home runs, and that's why I'm kind of going with the Angels tonight. Look, again, like kind of like Brother Brian, so I'm going to take the home team here at a plus number, +122 over the Tampa Rays, who have not really found their stride yet. They're sitting at 5-5. They're kind of hanging around, which is what they usually do until at some point they catch fire. But this Angels team, so let's not forget Long Island native and Mikey Meatball's buddy, Logan O'Hoppe, is off to another fantastic start, hitting .427 for the Angels. So it looks like he's rebounding back into form to where he was before he got hurt last year. I like these right-handed bats in the Angels lineup. Ward is another one with 3 home runs. And Tyler Anderson was excellent in his first game. Struggled last year with the Angels. Maybe he's finding his form that he had with the 2022 Dodgers. Let's take the Angels at home at +122.
All right. There you go. This is only going to be me, but either way, it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of just me in a segment we hate to call Bet Aches.
When a bet makes you sick. And you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
I have the only bet ache this week, guys.
I don't know.
It's a hockey game?
What's going on? Harry's not betting enough here.
Is that true, Harry?
I got a parlay tonight. I need Toronto, Pittsburgh over 6.5 in hockey, and Connecticut to win by 13 or more for almost 500.
All right.
I'm good.
You're winning. All right. I mean, I was winning too with this Connecticut, South Carolina stuff. It was good. Not great in UFC, but my only bet I think was Stars over Blackhawks. By the way, I thought it was going to be Bhaktia, the golfer. We're going to have a lot of master stuff. Paul Kohlers is going to join us, but boy, that guy. So Bri, after 9 holes, it was -18 to -12 against McCarthy.
Yeah.
What the hell? And then McCarthy birdies 8 of the last 9. And this Bhaktia guy, Parlay Kid, 109 pounds soaking wet. Like, really? And putts lefty, and so everything looks weird. But anyway, he held on in the second overtime hole. McCarthy hit it into the creek, and that was that. But that said, my bet ache, Dallas Stars over the Blackhawks Saturday. They outshoot the Blackhawks 44-17 and don't score their second goal until 3 minutes left in the third. Wasn't enough. Block shots 27-13 for the Blackhawks, who are really trying now. They've notched their 23rd win against conference leading Stars. That was my only loser on a parlay, the Stars. So that's bet aches. All right, I guess we play the music now, Mikey Meatballs, and then do something else.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bet ache. It's a bet ache. It's a bet ache.
All right, that's that. Hey, let's take one more break and wrap things up here. All right, Harry, I saw Springsteen last night.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
Well, let's hear it.
Well, he's great. First of all, I think, like, you know, it's possibly his last concert at the historic LA Forum, and you're not there and Ken's not there. Like, who's the real fan? Maybe I'm the real Springsteen fan that I'm there.
Look.
But he is... I mean, it's a minor showbiz miracle what he does. It's like 74 years old, goes out there 3.5 hours, hard singing too. Like the first nine songs before even a ballad or introducing this band or telling a story or whatever. And he just freaking comes at you with like a ferocious pace for 3.5 hours. And it's just insane. No stories. It's like, I got 35 songs to do and I'm just going to get right into it. So
you're not getting shortchanged. You can say that. Say what you want about if you like it or don't like it. You're not getting shortchanged.
Yes. Now, do you need to see it 35 times a year? I don't know. I think that makes it a little less special if you're going to go. I mean, it's like, well, first of all, I recognize probably 12 or 13 out of the songs he did, out of the 30, 35 songs he did. So maybe I'm just trying to think of what it's like. If I loved all his stuff, that'd be another thing. Like, Parley Kid, if the Yankees got 4 runs an inning every game, would you go see him all the time?
Well, no, that's why I'm not a concert guy, really, Sal. I know you guys like going to concerts. I feel like, I don't know. I could listen to it, anywhere now. I could listen to any song anywhere, anytime, if I want to. And once I saw it once, and that's why sports are great, because everything changes. The variables always change. If you were seeing the same sporting event time after time, you'd go once and be like, well, if I'm going to see this again, I'm not going back. You know, it just, maybe you would, like a movie you'll watch the second time or a third time. But eventually,
Harry,
it just becomes
like
white noise.
What's the difference between Springsteen and the set, I'll say, between Springsteen and Barcelona and Copenhagen?
Yeah.
Could you tell me? You wouldn't be able to tell. But no.
There's probably 3 songs, 4 songs that are different.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And like, look, like maybe I'm the wrong guy. Like, and by the way, I preface this with, it was freaking great. He's amazing. God bless the guy. I don't know how he's doing it at 74. I saw him 25 years ago.
Very impressive.
At 49, I was like, I don't know how he's doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. But for me, like, you know, there's a, for every Glory Days and Dancing in the Dark, there's a song that starts off, I was riding the train tracks. And I'm like, oh, what the hell is this? But, you know, then everyone's into it. So I don't know. It's spectacular, is what I'm saying. Great, extra great for anyone who's a huge fan. Yeah,
You liked Springsteen or Billy Joel better?
I'm a Billy Joel guy. But I would have to say, if anyone 99 out of 100, not that high, if you got to meet one of them or both of them backstage after the concert, which I did, Harry. You would pick Springsteen over Billy Joel. I think most people would. But I look at him after the concert. So it's not bad enough. He has 3.5 hours, right? And he probably does a little rehearsing, probably not every day. So he's got the 3.5 hour show where he is just bringing it. And then he has this meet and greet with like an hour and a half worth of meet and greets after every show. It is freaking. I saw him. He was like dripping wet.
Yeah,
so I said like 4 words to him, shook his hand, and that
How
was that.
How great would it be if you guys gave each other COVID? That would be great.
Someone, my cousin Jimmy, took a picture of someone like right in front of him holding up a sign that said, "You'll always be a floor fucker," which is obviously a nod to Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's great.
And so he talked that. It was a great moment backstage, I will say. Like, everyone's waiting for Springsteen. As we're waiting for Springsteen, Jimmy, my cousin, someone approaches him for a picture, you know, and these are like VIPs in this section, but this is like someone's basically like someone's like Miles Teller's cousin or something. Like, oh, Jimmy, can I get a picture? And the guy takes a picture with Jimmy. And then Bruce says to Jimmy, he's like, "Hey, Jimmy." And Jimmy's like, "Bruce, can't you see I'm trying to greet my fans here? Leave me alone." It was like a funny Don Rickles moment. But and then the guy's like screwing with the camera, like couldn't get it right. It ended up being about the camera and the picture. And I'm like, oh, shit. Now I'm not going to get the picture with Bruce
because I can't very well after this do anything. That sucks. So there you go. So anyway, that's it. I will have one more thing on this, though.
Silvio, Little Steven. Is there anyone who's had a show business career like this guy? He is a major player on perhaps the greatest drama of all time and is what would you say backup singer in the one of the greatest bands of all time.
Yeah.
Like there's no comparison to what this guy's done. And yet I can't tell if he's a good actor or a good singer.
Well, that's 100% true.
Or a good guitarist.
Yeah, well, any of it. Has anyone heard him sing alone? Yeah. Well, I mean, just the fact that he's on, I look at him, like he's on The Sopranos. Like, this is like if Eddie Van Halen was the police commissioner in The Wire. Like, it's so bizarre to me.
How about his gear on stage, too, Sal? His gear, what he wears.
Earring for your four, yeah. And those boots. I'm like 4 hours in those boots. Anyway,
Harry, Bon Jovi or Bruce?
Bon Jovi. And speaking of, I'm going to say it right now. I've never asked Sal for anything in regards to
answers,
Jimmy Kimmel show. But I hear that Bon Jovi is going to be on the Jimmy Kimmel show this week for the first time ever.
Oh, this week?
Yeah.
So what do you want? What do you want me to do?
You going to go or what, Harry?
Oh boy, a picture with Bon Jovi.
You want me to send them to you?
Me and Bon Jovi showing chest hair each would be fantastic.
All right. Well, he's not going to you, Harry, after the show, if that's what you want me to ask him. So are you coming out here?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what day yet.
All right. Well, then we're going to do some work.
We'll see.
Yeah, do some work on this ask. I want to wrap this up, but Parley Kid, I want to more on, I think you've created a little bit more of a monster that was already developing in my son, Harrison. He did do something pretty interesting that I'm wondering if you ever did. He struck it. It was a Sandlot game. It was a scrimmage, but everyone's wearing a uniform, so it's kind of official. He had 5 strikeouts in an inning as a pitcher. The catcher sucked. The ball got past him twice.
Okay, that could happen. Sure.
Pretty good. And then he comes off afterwards. He's like, no one's hitting my cutter. No one could hit it. No one could hit my cutter. You see the way it glides across the strike zone?
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't know. It just seems like the same stupid swings over and over. I don't know. Anyway, if you're looking to not hit someone's cutter,
I love it.
My son Harrison.
I love it.
Catcher couldn't catch it either. So.
Oh, man. I was pumping him up on that trip. That's for sure.
I know you are. All right. Listen, we've gone long enough here. That's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. I'm going to go stare into the sun for Mikey Meatballs and the D3. I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping.
Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.